Now, I'm going to give you 7 suggested principles for approaching the prophetic word of God. I didn't originally have 7, I had 5, but the Lord added 2 more recently. And I'm not superstitious, but when I get to the number 7, I usually feel that's it. So we'll turn first of all. Oh, let me point out something else very important about this prophetic word of God. Its purpose is to make us aware of the coming of the Lord as an imminent reality, as something real that's happening. Peter says you need to give heed to it till the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Now, he's not talking about what's happening in the world. He's talking about what's happening in your hearts. In World War II, I spent 3 years in the deserts of North Africa, not by choice, let me say. And most of that time, we lived by the sun because we had no artificial light. When it got dark, we went to bed, and when it became light, we got up. And so I observed things that I wouldn't be observing today. And one of the things I saw, that at certain seasons of the year in the east, when the sun is due to rise, the horizon will become luminous. It will get quite light in that part of the heavens. And you will think the sun is rising. But it isn't the sun. It's the morning star called Aurora. And that star at that time is so bright that for a moment you would imagine the sun is going to rise. But it isn't the sun. But one thing is sure. When Aurora rises, you know for sure what's going to happen next, which is the sun is going to rise. So Peter says, let this aurora, this morning star, rise in your hearts, because when it arises, you'll know for sure Jesus is coming back. See, God requires that every one of us live in the excited anticipation of the return of the Lord. That's how every believer should be living. In Hebrews 9, verse 27 and 28, it says, it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. Remember, you only die once, and you are not reincarnated. The next thing is judgment. I say this because we've just come through countries where Buddhism has prevailed, and they teach, of course, this endless cycle of reincarnation. It's a lie. It is not true. It is appointed to each of us to die once and not to be reincarnated, but to await the judgment. As it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. For whom is Jesus going to appear? For those who eagerly wait for him. So, are you eagerly waiting for him? If the morning star has risen in your heart, then you will be eagerly awaiting for him. If not, you really don't qualify. For those are the ones for whom he will appear the second time. For those who eagerly wait for him. Now let me deal with my 7 suggested recommendations for getting the right thing, what you need, out of biblical prophecy. We'll start with the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 29 and verse 29, which contains 2 great basic principles for understanding and applying prophecy. Moses was speaking to the children of Israel, and he said, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law." The first point is, there are 2 kinds of things. There are secret things, and there are things that are revealed. There are things that God keeps secret. He has not revealed them. When I speak on this kind of theme, it often happens that somebody will come up to me and say, in effect, "What do you believe, pre, mid, or post?" You know what that means? Will Jesus come at the beginning of the tribulation, the middle of the tribulation, or the end of the tribulation? I always answer, I don't know. Furthermore, I'm not embarrassed. Furthermore, in the light of what is going to happen, it may turn out that those are meaningless questions. They just won't apply. You see, I believe that the day and the time of the coming of the Lord is a secret thing. It's only known to one person in the universe, God the Father. It's not known to the Son. It's not known to the angels. It's a secret thing. Now, anybody who claims to be able to reveal that secret thing is a false prophet. By his own lips, he has identified himself. But you see, if people don't understand biblical prophecy, they'll be taken in. It's been tragic how many charismatics have been fooled by a prediction that Jesus was coming back in, what was it, October 28 or 29. I think it was going to be October 28 the first time, and when it didn't happen, then he said he got his dates wrong, and it was October the 29th. And I was appalled by the number of serious Christians who actually began to believe that. Had they known the prophetic scriptures, they would have known it was a lie. Because it's one of the secret things. And one of the temptations we have to resist in interpreting biblical prophecy is trying to get God to reveal the secret things. Because if God keeps a thing secret, it's a waste of time trying to find it out. And I think much of biblical interpretation or interpretation of biblical prophecy has focused on trying to get to know secret things. And the result is frustration, confusion, disappointment. Because when God keeps a secret, believe me, there's no one can find his secret.